Security researchers warned this week that there's a number of vulnerability in most web browsers, and again, switch to Mozilla, Firefox, or Netscape, because they just can't put the hole fast enough, especially with these phishing attacks, because they look so much like the site that people are getting scammed left and right, thinking that they're going to official sites, because, well, it doesn't mean much. I mean,
even technically savvy people.
That's right. I mean, the way they can sit there and copy their logos, see, of the bank site. They can sit there and copy their logos, make it look like the bank page. You start plugging in information, and it's boom, you're pinched.
One interesting thing that they're doing is they put up a pop-up window that has no window top. There's no blue border and there's no clothes or everything.
Yeah.
And there's no border around it. And in there, they put the real address of the place you're going to, and then they move it so that it's over your address bar.
So it looks,
if you look at the address bar, you think you're in the right place, and you're not.
Yeah. Okay, another thing, more of how the internet is playing part of our lives. Walmart and Amazon.com. Definitely seen some heavy hits on their servers, and that to the point that it even slowed down. A lot of folks, are doing online shopping now. That's been a very growing thing now with Christmas for folks who don't want to go out, fight the traffic and everything else. They're relying on going for that. So, I think Walmart and Amazon might be considering upgrading their things going on.
That's good for right now.
Those are interesting things.
Yeah, not a heck of a lot.
It was a quiet week. One thing that's kind of interesting coming out of Apple this week is they're now accepting PayPal payment on the iTunes Music Store.
Yeah.
So you can if you already have a PayPal account and you have 50 million people worldwide to do, that's an easy way to get into iTunes Music Store. Apple is also allowing you to download a demo of their Motion program, a free 30-day demo, which is advanced motion graphics on television and movies and sporting events. You see, some graphic logo flying around the screen. That's motion graphics, and Apple is adding that capability now to Final Cut video editing. So now you can do your video, you can do your audio with Apple's Logic, and now motion graphics with Motion, and Apple's calling it the production suite, aiming at the middle level of high-end consumers and the low end of the pro line of the prosumer market. So now you can
prosumer, as opposed to the amateur sumer.
What used to be a multi-million dollar television editing station, you can now get for under $10,000.
Cool.
It's pretty interesting.
Before you go on, I just want for anybody listening to this. Off the website, off the archive site, the reason that you missed the front of the show is because Steve is not getting any levels, so I have jumped in and record, which also means that I can't stream at the same time I'm recording, because this is not the heftiest box on earth, this little laptop, so I get my choice, and I can keep
working on it. If I can get the recording running, I'll watch the streaming.
And then I'll send you the first half, and
whatever.
Go ahead, I'm sorry, go ahead.
There's also some interesting analysis coming out this week. Different websites are talking about legally downloading music, and can iTunes survive with new subscription services coming on, especially the Napster service. One of the things they tout is that for $10 a month, you can listen to any number of songs on their however many million songs they have. And they actually pointed out to one of Apple's ads, the iPod marketing 10,000 songs in your pocket. And with Apple's model of purchasing for each song, you have to buy each one of those 10,000 songs.
Right.
So it's 10,000 songs from iTunes Music Service or $10 from Napster. The problem with the subscription service is that if you stop paying the monthly fee, you lose all the music you've already downloaded.
Right.
So it's going to be up to the marketplace, at least, to see which model is going to take off and possibly a combination of the two. And iTunes still has a 70% market share for legally downloaded music. And it's doesn't seem to be slowing. Apple is saying they're growing in every industry, they're growing in every country. Some of the other subscription services and music players from Microsoft and Dell and the other companies aren't doing as well, and they're blaming it on a slow marketplace. Yeah, and Apple is saying, we haven't noticed a slow marketplace, we're growing.
Right, right. It's slow everywhere except apparently at iTunes.com.
Right. And do you have the fertility risk news story?
Go ahead.
Okay. Apparently, researchers are now warning laptop users, especially men, that if you want to have children, don't use a laptop on your laptop.
Yeah, basically use it as a desktop.
Yeah, apparently the heat generated by a laptop can affect certain medical conditions and possibly prevent you from having children. So it's be wary of hot laptops on the top of your lap.
Yeah, if you're one of those people who gets on the train and sits with your laptop in your lap and works for 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
don't.
And I've also said there's posture problems. Now, you have people other problems with their back and their neck and their shoulders. Because trying to hold the laptop on your lap while you're working on it is kind of awkward.
Well, even on the desktop, I notice that everyone does this. You hunch over while you're working and you kind of lean to one side to grab the mouse. And it's really ruining my posture, and I've seen it in other people as well.
Looks like the old bit, you should remember it from the Three Stages.
Yeah.
My wife hates it every time I do this one.
Oh, I got a week back. How long have you had it?
About a week back.
Oh, dumb. Okay.
See,
I did
that
too. It's the Three Stages thing. We don't do the Three Stages. That's all.
Yep. Yep.
Google has a new service up. It's in beta. And what they're doing is having something called Google Suggest. As you type in your search, it brings up underneath it a real-time listing of possible search terms that might match what you're trying to type in.
Before you finish typing.
So that's pretty cool. And that changes dynamically as people, it basically is the most popular queries that match what you're typing in. The people at Google are the rocket scientists in the computer world. They're scary smart.
I love the spell checker they have on their search key.
Yes.
Did you really mean? What's even more funny is all the hits it finds with your same misspelling.
Yes, exactly. A lot of people misspell certain things. It's very true. If you're an AOL user and you can't get on, AOL is kind of sorry about that. And they may have it fixed by Monday. They're kind of thinking maybe. America Online mistakenly deactivated an undisclosed number of screen names on its AOL Instant Messenger service. The incident occurred earlier in the week. A batch of active screen names were extended to the screen names that have been not used for the past 12 months. AOL periodically recycles inactive screen names so they can be picked up by customers. AOL said that the company will reinstate all effective screen names no later than Monday, December 13th. So they deactivate them instantly, and it takes them a week to put them back.
I have to go through that list of how many millions of addresses and read them all out again.
Exactly. Restore the whole batch for the backup tape, and then figure out one again.
And if that one has been released, it's been reused.
Right, it really is a much harder problem than just put them back. I understand that. I really do. If you're a person who has been following the Mozilla saga, you know that Thunderbird, the email client from Mozilla, has also gone to 1.0. A couple of weeks ago, Firefox went 1.0, which is a web browser, and now Thunderbird is in a full 1.0 release. It's an email client. It's aimed at advanced email users and competes with products like Outlook Express and Eudora. It's been in development for well over a year. It's got user-trainable junk mail filter, which, by the way, is a very good one. Built-in RSS reader so that you can pull in RSS feeds from various blogs and news sources. It's a very tight security. It doesn't allow scripts to run by default. It doesn't automatically download images sent in an email. Thunderbird uses the Mozilla rendering engine to display HTML messages with Microsoft IE engine, which makes it immune to any IE-related bugs. The early versions of Thunderbird have already surpassed 1 million downloads, so Mozilla doesn't really expect Thunderbird to take off the way Foxfire did, which has been downloaded overnight.
I know.
Today's disease, and I've got it. The web browser Firefox has been downloaded over 9 million times in the last month.
Well, weren't they up to like 10% of the user market in that month?
Yeah, exactly. And what's interesting, of course, is that the way you tell is because the browser tells you what browser it is when it goes to your site, and you can save that information in your logs. The problem is most browsers lie. They all say they're Internet Explorer, so it's the lazy programmers who are Internet Explorer only don't dump them.
This site can just be, and I had one of those the other day. This site it can only be accessed with Internet Explorer. I was using Internet Explorer for the Mac.
Yeah.
So the error message wasn't exactly correct.
Yeah, I've said it before, but I gotta say it again. Let's say that Microsoft now has 90% of the market. Okay, fine. If you were the owner of a company, would you want some standing in the front door turning away one out of every 10 people? Being a sense of it, but you're doing it online.
And the market is hundreds of millions of people.
That's exactly right.
10% is it's been Apple's argument for all these years.
Yeah.
Apple's
only
10% of the market. That's a huge market.
It's a huge number.
I would take
that market in a hot New York minute.
The usual analogy is it's bigger than BMW, Mercedes, and what's the other big German high-end car company?
Volkswagen.
Who cares? Combined.
Yeah.
So the three biggest luxury cars in Europe have a smaller market share than Apple does.
Yeah. And yet people are Apple.
Yeah,
they can't be making any money. They're out of business now.
For sure. No, it's IBM that's going out of business.
Yeah.
They sold the PC line to China.
They're a company in China. IBM has sold the PC line to a company in China. The Supreme Court is going to do the Grokster case. This is a fairly old one. But what happens is Grokster was sued by the RIAA because the Music Association, because people were downloading songs illegally through their service. So rather than going after the individuals, they went after the service. The Supreme Court Friday night, they agreed to hear a case focusing on whether peer-to-peer software vendors should be penalized for unauthorized file trading when their software is used. This has definite implications for things like the phone company, which has always gone by the carrier rule. It's not my fault if people make obscene phone calls on my carrier. We're just the guy who makes the phone calls possible. We're not really facilitating obscene phone calls. If Grokster loses this case, that can go back to that again. Now, here's an interesting thing. Part of the monthly security bulletin release, Microsoft is providing advanced notification to the customers on a number of security updates being released and its products affected. It's intended to help our customers plan. There's 5 Microsoft security bulletins affecting Microsoft Windows. The greatest maximum severity rating for these security updates is important. And some of the security updates may require a restart.
They should have something higher than important.
Yeah,
this is critical.
Well, they do, actually.
This is
critical. No additional information on these bulletins is available, details regarding the severity or details regarding what the actual vulnerabilities are. Well, we'll know that December 14th. So what they told us this week is that, in fact, there are vulnerabilities. We're not going to tell you what they are.
Yeah,
exactly. Listen, we're going to take a quick break. But when we come back in just a couple of minutes, we're going to have a mystery guest with us. Along with Big Ben Wright, Steve Ray, Ron Linton, and Nina Francesco on the greatest computer show in the known universe, Sound Bites on 1180 WHAM.
Sound Bites with Nick, Dave, and Steve on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good morning, Mr. and Mrs. America, and all the chips to the PC. I know. Steve wanted me to do it again because he didn't get it recorded the last time.
Now you got to start over again.
Good morning. It's Saturday, the 12th
Sunday.
Of December.
Sunday. Start Sunday over again.
Good morning. It's Sunday. Doggone it. It's Sunday, the 12th of December, Anno Domini 2004, and we're still listening to Sound Bites. And we have a mystery guest here today. He is...
Should I sign in? Enter and sign in, please. Our mystery guest, you're probably going to have a tough time figuring out who it is if we don't tell you. It is, in fact, the magnificent Tony Placilla, who is joining us here today to talk about all the Linux and open source and cool stuff that's going on.
Oh, there's a bunch of cool stuff.
Welcome. Thank you. Talk to us.
Fedora Core 3.
Ooh.
I love it. Previous listeners of the show have heard me make my comments about Core 2, which I was not ready for prime time for various and sundry reasons, but for the past, month, roughly, I've been playing with Core 3 and other various distributions. I really, really like what they have done with it. Memory management is immensely improved. The hot plug features are great. Wireless just works. You know, we're at the it just works stage. One of the nicest things they've done as far as hot plug, they're using the Unix stuff. They've changed it to make it nice, so your flash cards and things like that just
work. So the important thing for our listeners is that if they put this on a desktop, it starts to work just like Windows. You plug in put in a CD, it starts. You put in a
flash card,
and it works.
You plug in your digital camera, it works.
It works. It just works.
And you don't have to worry about viruses and spyware.
Yeah,
that sounds like the Mac.
Yeah, it's
that's our goal. Everyone stop using Windows.
Yep.
Yeah, Linux or Mac.
Much.
Yeah,
I've played with the other two consumer desktop friendly versions, Ubuntu Linux and Xandros, the new Xandros version.
Right.
They're very, very much the same. Not quite as bleeding edge as Fedora, but
right.
Yeah, give it a shot. You know, with the price of hard drives now so cheap, it's really worth learning.
See, I'm currently using Fedora Core 3.
Yeah.
I'm using Debian.
Yeah.
Unstable. So I'm getting all that bleeding edge stuff, but what I can't get working is the hot plug-in.
Yeah.
Makes me crazy.
Yeah, yeah. Try it. You'll love it.
All right, you will.
Yes, and my latest rant. Windows XP.
Here we go.
Service Pack 1.
There we go.
Company out of Great Britain, security company called AdvantWave, I think, did a test of various operating systems, computers, plug them onto the net, put a Mac OS... OS X 10.2 or something like that, but basically what Joe user would have.
Right.
Plug them up on the net. Time frame for...
I love this.
Time frame for plug it in and get exploited for Service Pack 1.
Yeah.
Guess.
I know, so don't ask.
Okay.
Less than 2 minutes.
Yes. Well, 2 minutes and 51 seconds. Plug it onto the net and you're owned.
Yeah.
Mac,
someone else has broken into your computer and can do anything they want with it.
That's it. It, like, sends spam to 10,000 people a second.
Right.
Mac and Linux versions. They tested 4 versions of Linux and OS, like I said, 10.2. Nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing.
I told you, we put a new machine up on the net, and the very first entry in the log...
Before
boot success was somebody who was trying to own us.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it was a Linux box, and it was a Windows exploit, so we just laughed and moved on.
Yeah.
But the point is, they tried.
Yeah.
The machine wasn't even fully up yet.
Yeah. Well, that's why we tell a lot of people, we get questioned quite often, is my computer's turned off, but the light on my cable modem is still blinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, those are people trying to break into your computer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's just
and
a network.
And turning
network.
It off is the best thing to do.
Well, and the same people who say, I don't really need a firewall because I'm on dial-up and I'm not on more than 5 minutes a day. That's about 2.5 minutes too long.
Yeah, I told you the story about 5-6 years ago when I got on dial-up and I got nailed. I got owned in 15 minutes of dial-up time.
Yep. So, folks, you need that firewall stuff. We're going to go to the phones now, and our first caller is Steve from Henrietta. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Yeah, hi. This is a Mac question.
Oh, I'm sorry. Thanks for calling. So long.
I have an old Power Mac, a clamshell, and I'm running a 9. And I'm just wondering about Virex, the anti-software.
Mm-hmm.
And I just really surf the web, and I'm not really familiar with changing the software. But when I go to Virex now to update my virus definitions, it says it cannot be used with this version of the Virex application.
Right. It sounds like you need to update your Virex application.
The
typical antivirus companies, Norton Antivirus and Virex from the McAfee folks, they'll come out with new versions of the definitions every couple of weeks and sometimes every couple of days to check for new viruses. And then every once in a while, they'll also come out with a new version of the program itself, the core program, so that it can scan better, it can scan faster, it looks for new types of problems. So eventually, your antivirus definitions won't update anymore because you need to update the main program itself.
Is Virex still viable?
Yes, but there's a little interesting thing that Apple and McAfee have entered into a marketing agreement, so you can only get Virex through their .Mac subscription service.
Oh, really?
So to upgrade to the current version of Virex, you have to subscribe to .Mac.
Oh, could I see? I'm not familiar with changing the software. Could I go to Network Associates and go directly there and do it? And how do I do that?
Go to Network Associates and find the button that says download the updated version of Virex. It may work to just download an updater, depending on what version you have now. You may need a whole new version from them. And we'll try to find that URL on Network Associates, because it is hard to find, the Mac version.
And we'll put it on our website, soundbites.org. Right now, we're going to take a quick break, back in just a couple of minutes, with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and each and every one of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1, turn your radio down. 2, turn your radio down lower. 3, remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4, make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5, calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6, if you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7, is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
From PCs to Macs, these guys can answer your questions. Back to more Soundbites on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Edwards.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Robert from Brockport. Welcome, Robert. What's your question?
Hi, everyone. I've got a question. What I have is a network system at home.
Yes.
And I've got the, I just upgraded to XP. I guess I had to start with it. I had two computers with a phone modem.
Yeah.
In one of them, and I could internet share both of them on a 2000 Pro.
Right.
Everything was happy. I upgraded to XP last week on both of them, and I can't internet share. I can do everything. They communicate like mad, but I can't get the internet sharing, the ICS to work. Or ICS is called.
Right.
And it barely works. Like, if you go into Word and type in a website,
right,
bypassing Explorer, it tries to come up. I actually came up with a script error at once. Now it's not doing it at all, and then it happened this morning. It could. So I don't know if Internet Explorer is not seeing the, it's definitely connected. I even have the icon in the bottom right-hand corner of the client saying that you've got a... your phone service or your internet service is working, but it won't. Internet Explorer will not function.
On the server computer, everything works fine.
Oh yeah, yeah. These are just loaded. There's not a lot of garbage on them yet.
No, what he means is you can connect fine from the host from the server computer. You can't connect from the client computer.
Correct. The server has the modem on it.
There is in XP, and I forget where, under networking tools, control panel. Networking, there is a ability to create a disk that you walk around to your various clients, and it sets up the configuration.
Yeah, but he's got his network. The computers are seeing each other.
Right, but isn't network sharing part of that?
Yeah, but here's the problem. What happens is with the internet connection sharing, there is a when you connect to the machines, you have two little buffers, one for transmitting and one for receiving. Mm-hmm. If they are different sizes on the two machines, you will not be able to use that second machine to connect through the first machine.
The MTU settings?
Right. It's the MTU settings. And what happens is Windows XP itself has a problem with this. Service Pack 1 fixes that problem. If you don't want to play with Service Pack 1... you're going to have to go muck about in the registry, and I do not suggest that. So I think at this point, your best bet, Robert, is to upgrade to at least Service Pack 1, if not Service Pack 2. I know we don't recommend that a lot, but that will solve this particular problem.
It's also possible that it got caught up in, if he already has SP2, in its overly aggressive firewall management. And it's not allowing the second machine through
the
firewall.
Right. If he has Service Pack 2, his best bet is to cut out that firewall and see what happens. What did I just do? Something very bad. Okay.
Click the wrong button. I hate when I do that.
I did click the wrong button, dagnabbit. Okay. But try that, Robert, and let us know what happens. Okay. Our next caller is Steve calling in on a cell phone. Welcome, Steve. What's your question?
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm all thanks. Hey, just a sidebar on your dial-up intrusions. I was out of town last week. I was on the dial-up on my laptop, maybe over a period of the week, about an hour, and I got 344 hits of people trying to get in.
Yeah.
An alarm. And by the way, I was using the new production version of Firefox, too.
Good.
So, you know,
so even though
they're not trying to get in through Firefox. They just found your address on the net and are trying to break in that way.
Yeah, so without doubt, they should be using a firewall.
Yeah.
The reason I called is I deinstalled Windows Messenger to the remote programs, and I'm using Office 2003, and the doggone thing keeps loading up on my taskbar. It's not active, but it's still in a taskbar.
Yeah.
And I've been messing around with this thing for 2 weeks, and I can't get rid of it. Any suggestions?
What operating system are you running?
XP.
Your best bet at that point is to run msconfig. Msconfig.
Yeah, to remove it out of there.
And what you want to do is once that comes up, take a look at that last tab, which is startup. You should see it on that tab. Uncheck it, and you should be good.
Okay.
Okie doke. We're going to take another quick break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and all of you on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Online, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. Now, back to Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Pasillo.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. How did he know that?
He's
scary.
He's
a scary guy.
Yep.
Our next caller is Bob from Henrietta, New York. Welcome, Bob. What's your question?
Yes. Whenever I access Yahoo on my browser, I get this overlay ad that purportedly is from Macromedia saying, do you want to install and run Macromedia Flash Player 7? It pops up. And it takes over your browser until you either click on the little X in the upper right-hand corner or else do something else to get rid of it. I'm really afraid of clicking on any of the buttons on the bottom of the panel.
Have you run the Tango?
Yes, I did.
It may be a legitimate pop-up that the Yahoo page you're trying to load wants to run a Flash animation. If you
Or Flash ad.
Or Flash ad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's more likely. You can go to macromedia.com. directly and download the Flash player manually to make sure that you have Flash installed. And if the message still comes back, it was something trying to attack. If the message goes away, it was a real message, and you did need to install the new version of Flash.
That's because whenever I pass the mouse clicker, ads like this, these overlay ads.
What are you using as your browser?
IE.
You
stop.
Can. Yeah. Well, first you should stop using IE and go to Firefox, but. The real problem is won't get rid of those. The best thing to do is to upgrade to Flash Player 7, and that particular one will go away.
And use Firefox.
Yeah. And use Firefox. Go to Firefox, then upgrade to Flash Player 7, and then you won't have a problem anymore.
Speaking of Firefox, I don't hit the news this morning. University of Penn State, 80,000 students and faculty, they said no IE.
Good.
No IE. Use something else. Use Mozilla, use Firefox, use Safari, use anything else.
Yeah. In our labs, we have made Firefox the default browser. Mm-hmm. So and of course, you can't really get rid of IE anyway, but we made Firefox
the
default
desktop,
browser, right?
And
hide it
from the access and all that kind of thing. I mean, it's the only real need you need for it is effectively Windows Update.
Right.
Because, you know, who wants ActiveX stuff coming in?
And at a large, you know, corporate installation or university like that, the IT people will load the updates for you.
Oh, yes, they will.
Yeah.
Right, and that's what we do. We're using all kinds of stuff in the background. So, particularly in the labs, nobody's doing any updates anyway. So, who needs IE?
Right.
So, we're looking at that. Anyway, Bob, you ought to definitely think about moving to Firefox. You'll be much safer to begin with. And secondly, and more importantly, after you do that, you still are going to want to upgrade the Flash player.
And that's I say that, and that's one of the dangers on the internet now. You know, one of the many is you get a pop-up ad that looks like a legitimate window. It looks like a real message. You click on where it says "click here." It wasn't a real message, and you get infected with something.
Right.
And it's very hard to distinguish those between the real messages.
Oh, yeah. You could do a whole show about that.
Right. Well, one of the nice things about Firefox is that you can go to Tools and go to Extensions and download things legitimately from the site that you went, that you, you know, you initiated the contact, and download all the stuff you want. And the really cool thing is the About command. You can type in About... colon plugins, and you will see a list of all the plugins that are installed in Firefox. So, for example, I have the default plugin, which you can't not have. I have Shockwave Flash. I have Windows Media Player,
Java,
all that, yada, yada, and you can see what you don't have. So if it comes to you and says, oh, you need to download Flash Player 7, I can go here and say Shockwave Flash 7.0 R19. I already have it. I don't need it. This is a lie.
You want to hurt your brain? About colon config.
Right. You can go in and look at the config of your entire system, things that you don't even know what to do with. And, in fact, you can click on one of them, I think.
You can.
Yeah, you can. And you can click on it and change it to something.
It's really great for, like, when you click on a link to mail somebody. It tells which program to open up mail so you can prevent it from opening Outlook or Outlook Express and use, you know, point it to Eudora or something like that,
right.
Which is a really nice feature.
And the issue here is something called a plug-in to your browser. Basically, all the browser can do is display text and static graphics, just a picture. The internet has evolved beyond that, and you'll see little animations, you see games, you see all...
a lot of stuff you don't want to see.
Right, and those are plugins. Flash is an animation tool. Shockwave is an animation tool. QuickTime Media Player. Windows Media Player. And that lets you see little movies inside your web browser, or the Flash animation, the games inside your web browser. So you need some of these plugins, but you have to be wary of the message about plugins that you already have.
Right, that's exactly right. We are going to take a quick break, but when we come back on the other side of the news, we're going to have some of the most amazing stuff you've ever seen. We're going to look at the website of the week. We're going to look at the stuff that's going on in the browsers, in the forums, and on the poll. We're going to talk about a great Christmas gift. Dave has found an exciting and unique Christmas gift that you'll definitely want to see. But that's all on the other side. When we come back with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, me, Nick Francesco. Who am I missing? Oh, each and every one of you folks. Oh, yeah, and what's his name there? Rob Linton. When we come back on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites, on News Radio 1180 WHAM. Get online now. Call 222-1180, the Choice 1 toll-free line at 1-800-295-1180, or star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Welcome back. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is indeed Soundbites. Now, before we get back to the phones, I promised you I'd tell you a little bit about what's going on our website, soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y. Francis would like us to remind you. She's probably sick in hearing that. Probably
we got to meet Francis. We don't even know if she's still around. She might have moved to Florida.
Is Francis your DBA?
No. No, I have a DBA, but I'm not going to tell you what it is. I used to get calls for the DBA. It's another person's name. Let's say it's Joe Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I used to get calls saying, hello, may I speak to Mr. Smith? Mr. Smith is not available. I got a salesman call me up once and say, Mr. Smith asked me to call you. Did he now? Did he really?
Thanks for playing.
Anyway, here's on our website every week we have a poll. Last week's poll was about openoffice.org. 291 of you voted it, making it number 92 on the all-time hit list. And the choices were, I love it, I've tried it, no big deal, I might try it now that it has support, who cares, and I'm afraid to try it, you insensitive clod. The winner, I'm sorry to say, was Who Cares with 29% of the vote, followed closely by I Love It with 25% of the vote. Followed by very closely by I've Tried It, No Big Deal with 24% of the vote. If you haven't tried it, you should. It's a pretty nifty product. And one thing that it does do, it gives you all of the features that you would normally use with Microsoft Office, but it's free.
Yeah, and one of the things is I've Tried It, No Big Deal, which is actually a good thing because it's, you know, it's no big deal. It's nothing bizarre, interesting, shiny, new. It looks like an office suite that people are used to using.
You don't have the bad karma of stealing Office from your office or needing to pay the $400 to buy Office.
Yeah. Right, and it is 100% compatible. I use OpenOffice exclusively, and nobody at work has noticed. They're getting Word files, they're getting Excel files. They don't even notice.
Yeah, and it's actually sometimes it's better because you tell the story of how you've recovered stuff that Word or things like that couldn't touch.
Oh yeah, that's the best part. Yeah, I've
and
had files that Word.
And you can do the same thing as PDFs.
Yes, one click save as PDFs.
One click save as Flash.
One click save as Flash. Very neat stuff. All right, this week it is coming up on Christmas. So our poll this week is for Christmas, I want. And the choices are a new computer, a new monitor, a new printer, a digital camera, an MP3 player, peace on earth, and I don't do Christmas, you insensitive clod.
Happy Festus.
Happy Festus. The solstice is coming, and it's important for us to be part of it. So far we have, about, say, 71 votes. In the poll. So far, Peace on Earth is winning. I like to see that. Followed by, I always throw that one in there so that if you pick something
like
else, you feel guilty.
Yeah.
A new computer is coming up next. Dave likes to see that. Steve likes to see that since they, in fact, sell computers. They love to see that. Followed by a digital camera. The number one, the bottom choice, not such a good thing for Steve, is an MP3 player. Of course, that may mean they've already got them. Yeah. Oh, remind me to talk to you about
that. The AAC is a better format, so they want an AAC.
That's right. They don't want an MP3 player. They want an AAC player. Right.
I want an OGG player, you insensitive clod.
Yeah. Nobody does OGG anymore. It's like it was a flash in the pan, and now it's...
iRiver.
I love iRiver.
Rio, and starts with an N. I can't remember the name of it.
And I can't remember the name of it?
Yeah, I thought of something and it choked me up. I'm actually looking.
Oh, that would shock the heck out of me, I'll tell you right now.
I'm looking for a USB MP3 player for an old Mac without FireWire and without OS X, which the iPod requires.
Wow.
And I don't know if anyone...
It's got to be like an old Rio.
Yeah. I'm worried that eBay. It's going to have to be something old. Yeah.
Well, eBay
is
your friend.
It's for a customer's Christmas gift.
Okay, then it better not be eBay.
They want us to buy for
check,
them.
Check. I got a list.
I found one that's actually. I found two that are kind of neat. One is a USB thumb drive, a standard USB flash drive.
Yeah.
But it also plays MP3s, so it's a data storage drive and an MP3 drive.
Cool.
And we found a USB flash drive built into a regular ballpoint pen.
Yeah, I've seen those. Those are pretty cool. Anyway, after you're done leaving your mark on the Soundbites website in the poll, you'll see below it a yellow box. And if you click in there, you can leave your mark even more directly by going to my website, asknick.com. That's asknick.com. Woody Woodpecker! A Walter Lantz cartoon. I love Woody Woodpecker. Anyway,
who is the voice?
His wife.
Mrs. Lantz.
Mrs. Lantz. At any rate, you can go to my website, asknick.com, and leave an opinion. So far, we've got 10 of them there. Many of them actually have something to do with this, with the poll. That happens more and more regularly. I'm glad to see, at least to start with. Toward the end of the week, they get a little whacked, but they're pretty good so far. And then come back to the Soundbites poll, and you can get into the forums, and you can play around in the forums all you want now that they're fixed. You know, everybody called to complain that they were broken. Nobody called to complain that they were fixed.
No, I did not.
Thank me that they were fixed. No, you were good.
I was good. I knew what the problem was, and I knew you knew how to fix it.
I did know how. But you know, my daughter was phenomenal. Hey. I got to say it. I got to be honest about it.
Nothing wrong with
phenomenal.
That.
She was phenomenal. So
we are not surprised about this.
Thank you. But at any rate, we're going to go back.
Well, she takes after Elaine.
Yes, thank God. Yeah, thank God. If she was taking after me, we'd be in trouble. We're going to go back to the phones now, and we're going to talk to Mike in Avon, New York. Welcome, Mike. What's your question?
Thanks. I have on my computer, Adware identifies it as the vendor LOP, LLP. The type is process.
Uh-huh.
I cannot get it out of there.
Okay, have you danced the entire Security Tango? Or are you just using Attaware?
I have Attaware, I have Spybot, I have Norton.
Okay, but have you danced the Security Tango?
No, well, I don't know what that is. I'm sorry.
Ah, there you go. You need to go to securitytango.com. And once you're there, you'll see a Let's Dance button. Click on that and follow each and every step.
Print it off.
Straight through. Print it off. Somebody wrote to me and said they couldn't print anything more than the first page, but I have no idea what they were talking about since it actually worked for me. I have no idea. Anyway.
What happens is that a lot of the spyware hides in the system restore function, so you need to turn that off.
Yep.
A lot of the spyware is running and then can't be deleted, so you sometimes have to go into safe mode
or restarting.
Or what I've also found is go to msconfig and turn off all your startup programs, because even sometimes safe mode doesn't work well enough. So there's a lot of the spyware is really hard to remove, and the Security Tango instructions help.
Well, I got one that, as a matter of fact, I know the client's going to be bringing it back, or going to bring it in, because it's called Home Search Assist.
Yeah, those are bad.
And all that of one search is the worst.
Almost every of the search bars that purport to add this neat little search bar to Internet Explorer so you can search without going to Google first install so much junk and spyware behind that search bar. It's not worth the convenience.
Well, that's what
download
I have.
Firefox. It has a search bar built into Firefox.
If I go on directly onto the Internet from Internet Explorer, I have a search bar at the top that I know has nothing to do with MSN, and then I have a thing at the bottom that talks about it. It has a casino. It has these sites.
Oh, yeah, you're
loaded.
Yeah. You're loaded. Definitely dance the Security Tango, and don't skip any steps. Except, what operating system are you running?
I'm on XP.
Then don't skip any steps.
Okay, now, for someone that's totally illiterate to this, is it something that I'll be able to do, or should I maybe think about bringing my laptop
somewhere?
Well,
give it a shot, all right?
Okay.
If not, you can always give me a call or any of the other folks around. You know, we do this on a daily basis of cleaning up machines.
And I told you I broke everybody's
record.
My record. I've got 4,000 spy programs on one computer, and I'm not done cleaning it yet.
Yeah, and as far as ease of use, to really honestly, I have a 14-year-old daughter. I pointed her to the website. And they said, here, you do this. See if you can do this. And she did. It's not difficult.
It's not the kids that are a good test. It's your 80-year-old grandmother.
You're right.
My 80-year-old mother doesn't have to worry about it.
Well, give it a shot. And like I say,
Windows.
There's not too much that you can screw up in it. Because we're not telling you to go any place that, you know, you could get in trouble.
Okie doke. Thanks, Mike. Dance that tango. You'll be a happy little person. We're going to go next to PJ in Penfield, New York. Welcome, PJ. What's your question?
First thing, gratuitous thanks for fixing those forms, I think.
Thank you.
There.
You're welcome, and thank you. It was my pleasure.
Yes, and a wonderful day for people to shop at the Soundbite store.
That's exactly right. What a perfect Christmas gift.
I thought so, yes.
Soundbite thong.
The Soundbite thong, or some other item from the Soundbite's website store.
And they're going to need that to just get through the, the withdrawal pains, in case you guys don't have shows, understandably, on the 25th of December or January 1st. So
exactly.
And to hold close and near to the heart. Anyway, my minor annoyance problem concerns my computer not considering me trustworthy ever since my hard drive died about a month ago. Got a Mac Store 7200 APA 133. But since that time, I'll get into it's XP Pro, come into users, click on my name, type password, and I see my opening background for a moment, then it goes back to the opening for the users. And I enter it again, and everything's fine. I just don't know if I've become less trustworthy, and they're just wanting to make sure, or there's something that can be fixed. So I only have to go through that once.
You've had this before.
I'm sorry, say again?
Stop answering your phone on the air.
No. I was trying to check. He's saying that we're not on.
Well, no, yes.
Christmas Day is on Saturday.
Yes,
Saturday.
This is a Saturday. I noticed that I was going to do that later.
Yeah, the 26th and the 2nd. Are we going to do shows?
Yeah,
well, I'm thinking that they give you, like, those days off, like you have a real life.
Well, that would be nice. We don't have a real life. We're geeks.
Oh, I'm sorry. Then good for us.
All right, so I'm sorry.
He enters his password in Windows XP. He sees the desktop for a moment, and then it goes back to asking him for his password.
Safe mode as administrator and then reset the user password, possibly?
Yeah,
possibly. Do they have another username you can log in as?
Yes.
does that username work?
That works fine, it seems. I have administrator having those rights, and I have the rights, all the others.
Well, then log on as that user that you can get in with, delete that identity, and then recreate.
Save all the files in that first identity first. Yeah. Something is corrupted in that identity file.
Or it's possible that you have, yes, and it's possible that it's a bug or a thing. So dance the Security Tango as the administrator and see what happens. I'm afraid we have to take another break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Tony Placilla, Rob Linton, me, Nick Francesco, and every single one of you on the greatest computer show in the known universe, the mighty, mighty Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Hey, Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
I'm Steve Ray.
I'm Tony Placilla.
I'm Rob Linton.
And this is Soundbites. We're going to get to a call, an out-of-country call, shortly. But first, we want to talk about the website of the week.
Yeah, this week, matter of fact, there was an article in just today's paper about this, and I went over and downloaded and tried it out. And for you folks, because this is becoming very popular in a lot of homes, and here's...
Okay, I'll get it. You talk.
Okay. For you folks that are setting up wireless networks, a lot of you folks don't have a clue on how to set up the security and everything else. I mean, you could have a wireless... router in your house, and your next door neighbor could get tapped into it if you don't know how to set it up, and different functions, and whether you want folks to be able to dial in or whatever. There's a great program, and it's called Wireless Networking Ignition, and you want to definitely check this product out. You can download it for a 30-day free trial. So if you're running a wireless network, you definitely want to try this out and check out some of the features. I mean, it's very user-friendly. It'll discover the wireless hub, if you've got one in your house, automatically. And you can literally administrate how you want things set up on it. And really don't have to know a lot about wireless networking. So give it a shot. And what the heck, for 30 days, you can try it out. It won't be out anything. And see how you'll like it.
Cool.
I had a customer last week. I felt kind of bad for them. We're switching them over to a Mac because of all the viruses and spyware problems they have on their PCs. So they bought the Mac a couple of months ago, and we finally got a call from them and saying, I can't get my Mac onto the network. There's something broken in the Mac. So I go down there. They had a wireless network, and no one knew how to set up the Mac for wireless, which was one of the issues. But then the security guy who set up their wireless network turned off SSID broadcast and enabled 128-bit WEP passwords.
Perfect.
On the Macintosh, you have to do all that stuff manually to log into now a hidden secure network.
Right.
The Mac is set up by default to find an open unsecure network and say, hi, do you want to use this?
Right.
But so they had protected their network so well they couldn't get into it.
And one last thing, for which we're going to be doing from now until Christmas.
Which would be this week.
This week and next week.
Right. Go ahead.
One more shopping week till Christmas.
Yeah, one more before Christmas. All right, the other hot product you might want to check out if you want to get a nice laser printer that's really inexpensive, the Samsung ML2250. It's going for under $200. It'll hold 250 sheets of paper, and it's a great little laser printer. You might want to check it out. And, again, we'll put I heard this on the show link, but it's the Samsung ML2250. Worth checking out if you need an inexpensive laser printer,
and
maybe for the kids. Or
if you do a lot of black and white printing, it's significantly cheaper to replace toner than it is liquid
those
ink.
Those ink cartridges,
absolutely.
Especially
if you're
expensive. Looking for something to supplement the kids, because kids usually tend to burn out cartridges faster.
And color laser printers are now under $500.
Yep.
So you get the low cost of laser plus the ability to do color.
Right. Well, okay, we're going to jump from the north coast of the United States to the south coast of Canada and talk to Mark, who's in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Welcome, Mark. What's your question?
Hi, how are you?
Good. Are you actually hearing us over the air?
Yeah, I'm just listening on regular AM
radio.
How
cool is that?
We're international.
Sorry, go ahead.
When you want to receive radio stations broadcasting online, what causes buffering? Like, you don't get a... through Windows Media, why don't you get a continuous feed without constant interruptions in the sound, and then it resumes, and then when it resumes, it's not really where the feed should be, and then it tries to catch up with itself,
Right.
And then it jumps again, and then it might play
right,
for a minute.
Right.
A couple of different things can cause that.
Right.
The single biggest cause is your connection speed, how fast you're able to download. And even if you're on a cable modem or something like that, the download speeds may not be significantly fast enough for you to pull the stream in real time. So any of the players will do what they call buffering. They'll grab as much of the stream as they can and start playing it. Well, you've got a buffer and it'll play for it, but if the buffer isn't filled at the back end fast enough to keep up with itself, you're going to get those skips. It's really just network connection related.
And a lot of times the website you go to listen to this radio will show different streams. You know, 300K broadband stream, 56K modem stream, 26K slow modem speed. If you're getting a lot of rebuffering, you might want to choose the next speed down and see if it's any smoother.
Right. One thing that a lot of people do, there's a site called shoutcast.com, and they have an amazing number of radio stations, online radio stations listed. And you will see that as you go through the list, some of them are 56K, 24K, 128K. And obviously, the slower your connection, the lower a number you should pick in order to not have that problem. It works a lot like the anti-skip on the Walkmans for jogging. What it does is it loads 10 or 15 seconds into a buffer, and then if there's a glitch while you're jogging, it's really playing it out of the buffer. And the same thing happens online, but if, as Tony said, if that other site slows down, the buffer gets empty. And there's no way around that technology unless you're on a line that's so fast. And it's got to be straight through from you to them, not just you to your site. It's got to be the whole chain all the way from you to them.
The connection is only as fast as the slowest point along the way.
Right.
So the rule of thumb is choose the next slower.
Yep.
And see if that helps.
Okay, so basically it's my computer.
No, it's the internet. It has nothing to do with your computer.
But it could be your if your computer's not fast enough and your connection isn't fast enough to play a 300K
plus
stream.
What else he might have running in the background on his computer. So you can certainly get a faster computer and a faster internet connection, but that will only solve the problem some of the time.
Yeah, like some stations do it without buffering at all. It works continuously.
Because there's a fast internet link straight through from you to them wherever they are. On the other ones, your end is fast, but their end is slow. Or something in the middle is slow.
Or there's a bottleneck in the route somewhere.
Right.
Okay, I have an older computer. It's a 133 megahertz processor, Windows 95. And the modem is not in K. It's like 33 bytes per second.
Yeah, that's certainly part of it.
So, with only a 33K connection, you're going to have to find a 26K or lower radio stream.
Right. So if you click on a stream that's 56K, it's definitely going to be a problem. 128K, really, really, really a problem.
So basically, a new computer would do the trick.
It would help.
And it would help, yeah.
Yeah, it would let you receive a lot more stations, but certainly by no means all of them. Because some of them just have a problem. I've got a machine at work that's 3 gigahertz, and I'm running on a 100 megabit line, and I still have stations that drop out. Because the problem is somewhere in the middle or at the other end and has nothing to do with
me. Yeah, there could be too many people listening to that station at that time, and the server it's on can't serve out that many streams.
Plus how many other ports that you have to come through to get that one site.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be a lot of traffic that sometimes you might get it good, other times it might stink. Yeah, the other thing, however...
You just move the bottleneck.
Mark does have a good point, though. If you're the sort of person who loves to listen to the radio and you're having trouble finding things you want to listen to, I don't know why you would, because you'd be listening to Wham all the time, but if there was something else you want to listen to, like continuous Christmas music, you can find that on the web at a place like shoutcast.com. Pretty neat stuff out there. Our next caller, Paul from Dansville, New York. Welcome, Paul. What's your question?
Two questions. First one is backup. We have a home network, and the question would be, am I better off to... We've got 3 computers on the network. Are we better off to have individual external hard drives for each computer to back up to, or... how about a net storage device on the network?
Or a bigger single hard drive to back up everybody.
Yeah, just get like a 120 gig USB drive And you can go around and just hook it up to each computer and just drag the files. You don't want to save all the programs and everything else. All you want to do is save, you know, documents or anything else that's important that it would take you a long time to recreate.
Yeah.
Export your bookmarks and your emails and that, and create a folder on this 120 gig hard drive for each person. And you just quick hook it up and drag them over.
On the other hand, one of the things I like is he mentioned putting a NAT storage device on.
Which is what I use.
What that means is you can actually buy what, for the easiest way to put it, is just a hard drive you connect to your network.
An Ethernet disk, some companies call it.
Yeah, right. And what that does is lets you back things up just to that hard drive and you're done. What I like as an idea is you take one of those devices, you put two drives in them and you mirror them.
Mm-hmm.
Then I just save all my documents right to that drive. It saves to the other one. So now you've got two copies. If one of them dies, you've still got the other one.
Yeah, and you can set, like, your word processing program to use, create a backup copy and point the backup point at the network storage device.
Exactly. That way you've always got three copies of it, one on the backup device, one on the other drive on the backup device, and one on your hard drive.
So a lot depends on how much work you want to do. You can get one large hard drive and a scriptable backup program like Retrospect or ArcServe or one of the other backup programs. Yeah. Write a script, click a button, it backs up everything through the network on all three computers onto that one drive.
NovaStore does that.
NovaStore, yeah. There's a lot of good backup programs.
Xcopy does that.
Or you can buy one hard drive, carry it around to each computer, do a backup on each computer one at a time, or you can buy one hard drive for each computer. So it depends on your wallet and how much work you want to put into yourself. Most of us are lazy because we have too many other things to do, too.
So we have a
single backup drive with a script on it.
Exactly what I have.
The one advantage of doing it on a network drive is the ease of access to your backup documents from any machine anywhere.
Yep.
Which is the reason I do it.
Yep.
One of the caveats about doing a backup drive is that when your backup is done, you may want to unplug the backup drive from your network or from your computer. And then put it in a fire safe or offsite, because something that happens to your computer to render your data useless or lost could affect any other drive connected to that same computer.
Right. I'm dually paranoid. Not only do I back everything up to a mirrored drive, but then at 3 o'clock every morning I back that up to one of my servers at work.
I like Linus Torvalds' answer. Real men don't do backups. They just upload their files to the FTP site and let the world mirror it for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the internet is my backup.
BitTorrent, and then everybody will own your file. All right, our next caller is Matt from Benfield, New York. Welcome, Matt. What's your question?
Hi. I've got a problem on Outlook Express.
Yes, you do.
I come on there, and it says, the icon has no copy in it right now for some reason, and I get a MS-DOS message that says, finished, hyphen, M-S-I-M-N, and a bunch of hieroglyphics in there in the block.
Yeah, MSIMN is actually Outlook Express. It's the Microsoft Internet Mail and News, is the official name of Outlook Express. Mm-hmm. And so if you're actually looking on your high drive for Outlook Express, you wouldn't find it. You'd have to find MSIMN. And what it sounds like is that the Outlook Express application has become corrupted. Now, there could be any one of 1,000 reasons for that, and 1,000 places it could have gotten corrupted. The most likely one is some sort of virus.
What operating system are you using?
I've got Windows 98.
Yeah, you're going to have to likely reinstall Outlook, but you may also have to find out what caused the corruption in the first place to prevent it from happening.
Well, when
again.
He goes to do the uninstall... You know, if you go into Add Remove Programs and say Remove
it, you may not be able to.
It'll open up a window and it'll sit there and say, "Do you want to repair this?"
Yeah.
Try the repair.
Okay.
That might do it.
It might fix it. If it is unrepairable, what you might want to do is we already talked about Thunderbird.
Yeah.
You can download Thunderbird from Mozilla.org, and when it installs, it'll say, "Where do you want to import your mail from something else?" You can import it from Outlook Express, and assuming that it's not the inbox that's bad,
there's an inbox repair tool.
There is an inbox repair tool,
but you got to get Outlook running first to repair.
Right. So try what Dave said first, and that'll get Outlook Express theoretically running again. If that works, and you're good to go, you're done. Otherwise, you may need the inbox repair tool, but you might also want to think about moving to something Thunderbird.
Away from Internet Explorer.
Yeah, exactly, which is just a way to get viruses into your machine. Our next caller is Jim from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's your question?
Hello.
I got a bells and whistles question for you.
Yeah.
On the bottom, the I think it, when if you are setting up a toolbar, it's
on the bottom of what?
The computer screen front.
Okay.
Front. Explore bottom of the screen.
Right.
Where I think if you're setting it up, it's called the status bar on the bottom. You know.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, wondered when I move the mouse down there, you know, that always pops up if you want it to.
Yep.
And before, a while back, I had where I moved down there, and that bar would come up like a smooth scroll, but now it's doing a real quick. I just wondered, is there a way of getting it back to the smooth scroll? You know how that bar pops up?
It sounds right. Like he means the...
the auto-hide task
auto-hide.
Bar.
The auto-hide.
If you right-click on the task bar and choose properties.
Right.
And somewhere in one of those tabs, there's going to be a smooth scrolling option of it.
All right. It's a smooth scroll versus jump scroll.
Yeah.
I don't remember the exact wording, but it's under the properties feature of the task bar.
I'll check it out. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't do Windows.
I know you don't do Windows, but at least you know what you're talking about sometimes.
But you got other clients
thing.
That do.
Yeah.
So you got to wear multiple hats.
Well, and that's the reality. You know, no matter what you love.
Yeah, you need one of each to make sure he can answer the questions.
Right, mm-hmm. Right. Steve, you know, we think of Steve as our Mac guy, but he knows a lot of PC stuff, too. Yeah. He kind of has to get by in the world. Tony, our Linux guy, he still knows an awful lot about Windows. You have to.
You do. You have to.
You know, if they own 95% of the desktop, you better know something.
I mean, my life would be so easy if all I had to worry about was Solaris, for example.
You've probably heard a lot of the same fallacies we have. Oh, you can't do that on a Mac. Or you can't hook a Mac to a Microsoft network. You can't hook Linux to a Microsoft. Sure you can.
Yeah. Sure. I do it every day. If I didn't, I wouldn't be able to get anything done.
I authenticate at work against an Active Directory main controller.
See?
There isn't Windows within 50 feet of my cube.
Right, right.
So, yeah.
The reality
well, you have
is,
the updated Samba that does signed authenticated logins.
Yes.
I ran into that the other day, though.
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
We can do authenticated logins, but signed authenticated logins.
What's interesting is that people think that these are islands, one away from the other. You know, you're either a Mac person, a Mac network, or you're a Linux network, you're a PC network. The reality is they're homogenous nowadays. You can plug any one of these devices into any one of those networks, or multiple. I've
especially
got networks that have all three things running. I've got, you know, over in our library, we've got Mac servers, PC servers, Linux servers talking to Macs, Linux, and PC.
Just be nice to your network administrator. Yeah.
Especially since Unix was the original operating system that everything was developed on to begin with. The internet was created for Unix. You know, everything else was created for Unix to begin with.
I didn't know Al Gore used
Unix.
All right, listen, we are done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to everyone to whom we did not get. We will certainly be back here next week at the same time in order to take more of your calls. So call in early and call in often. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray. Particularly want to thank Tony Placilla for taking time off from his Sunday to come in and play with us. And, of course, Rob Linton, who keeps us on the straight and narrow as much as that is. It's the most thankless job in radio. Rob Linton, ladies and gentlemen, the most thankless man in radio. A job in radio. The man with the most thankless job in radio is what I really meant to say. I'm Nick Francesco, and we will be back here next week with the greatest computer show in the known universe, Soundbites, on 1180 WHAM.
Meet the decision makers by exhibiting at the Small Business Show.